Good morning, Dan and Amy. And Amy, we have our annual trip coming up. It's been cemented, and we're pleased to roll it out today. What is it?
Well, it's that time of year again when cold and snow in Chicago, but it's always warm and sunny in, are you ready? Drum roll. In Riviera Maya, Mexico. That's where we will be heading in 2018 with Apple Vacations, and you're invited to come along with us. We'll be staying at this place. Are you ready? The Secrets Maroma Beach Riviera Cancun Resort and Spa in Riviera Maya, Mexico.
And I know someone who won't be joining us. That's Mario Batali, who is taking a leave from Italy and his restaurant empire because of accusations of habitual sexual harassment. Mario Batali, the next man down. Just let it, you know.
Okay, well,
maybe he'll beat us to Riviera Maya.
Right.
We're heading there in 2018 with Apple Vacations. You're invited to come along with us. We'll be at the Secrets Maroma Beach Riviera Cancun Restaurant and Spa in Riviera Maya.
Or resort, but restaurant's fine.
Did I say restaurant?
Yeah, because
I got Italy
on
my mind. Resort and spa in Riviera Maya, Mexico, of course. 9 gourmet restaurants. There's the restaurant.
There you go.
Italy, not one of them. 6 bars, unlimited premium drinks, 24-hour room service. Beautiful, unlimited luxury, adults-only resort situated on Maroma Beach, recognized as one of the world's best beaches.
Get more information and book your trip by visiting 560theanswer.com/passport. Now, the price that Apple Vacations has secured for this trip is really incredible and exclusive to us, but it's only available for a limited time because I remember a lot of my friends tried to go with us last year, but the trip was sold out. This sells out every year, so don't miss out. Enjoy a week in Riviera Maya, Mexico with us, Dan and Amy. Visit 560theanswer.com/passport.
All right. Switching gears, we have to do some state and local stuff. And by the way, before we get to the governor's race and joined by State Representative Dave McSweeney, a Republican from Barrington, did you see this? Bob Miller. We reported on Bob Miller extensively. He was the former Algonquin Township Highway Commissioner up in McHenry County.
Yeah, and they made those videos. Because, you know, they really were bored at work, and they put them on YouTube.
A family in that post for 50 years was using the highway commissioner's office in Algonquin Township in McHenry County as like a personal piggy bank for his family. $400,000 worth of salary for Miller and family members.
Oh, my gosh. That's ridiculous.
He gets beat in the primary. The primary election in the municipal elections earlier this year by Andrew Gosser. And thankfully so, and in no small measure to our reporting at McHenryTimes.com. And is, you know, going to get paid out his pension. By the way, he's under criminal investigation, I understand, for the way that he ran the Algonquin Township Highway Department. Now he's an employee of Nunda Township, also in McHenry County, making $40 an hour as a consultant.
Consulting for what?
Consulting for the township. I mean, it's unbelievable. This is Illinois. He was Algonquin Township Highway Commissioner for 24 years, and his father and grandfather and great-grandfather and great-great-great-grandfather, going back to the founding of our country, basically. He also, on the way out the door, purchases, including tickets to Disneyland, $47,000 payout for sick pay. I mean, it's just incredible. Edgar County Watchdogs has been on this story, too. And the suggestion is that there are law enforcement authorities looking into his conduct as Algonquin Township Highway Commissioner. What the hell is Nunda Township thinking about by hiring him as a consultant at this point? I mean, it just never ends in this state, which is why people end their tenure living in this state. Governor's race. Bruce Rauner peppered with questions last week after Jeannie Ives' announcement that she will challenge him in the Republican nomination for governor. Jeannie Ives, state rep from Wheaton. He would not commit to debates. So that issue is being pressed. And then this memo that surfaced on Friday, this was rather interesting, from Rauner's former general counsel, which provided a lot of detailed advice and counsel on the use of state resources for political purposes. We had a couple of governors go to prison in part for using state resources for politics. And the implication is that that was ongoing in Governor Rauner's office Or at least there was a desire for it to occur, thus necessitating this memo from his former general counsel named Dennis Marashko, who wrote this memo. It was announced that he was going to leave the end of August. He ultimately got escorted out of the Thompson Center before the end of August. It's all very curious, and the governor's office isn't saying much. So maybe we could get some insight from State Representative David McSweeney, Republican legislator from Barrington. Dave, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Dan.
So why don't we start with the Marashko memo, and why don't you tell us, as you know, state legislator now for a few terms, how you read that memo and the context surrounding it. What do we have here?
On August 21st, Marashko, the general counsel to the governor at that point, wrote a memo calling for complete independence of the governor's office from the political operation. On August 23rd, he resigned. On August 24th, the governor told his staff that was not true, that Marashko is still there. And on August 25th, he was escorted out of the building. The strange thing is there have been stories that there is an EOIG investigation that the administration won't confirm. You might have seen that famous clip of Marianne Ahern asking the governor multiple times about this situation, and he just wouldn't answer the question, as usual with this governor. My concern is that Marashko has raised some serious issues and concerns. He didn't go into detail about practices in the past, and I support Jeannie Ives' call for an EOIG full investigation of what the background for the memo is and whether there's anything else going on in this Marashko situation. Even this morning, there was a story in Politico that the administration won't answer the questions. The only thing that they'll say is that he resigned, which is not consistent with the timeline. But this is business as usual with the Rauner administration, very secretive, not providing answers, and that's why we need Jeannie Ives as governor, frankly. We have a governor who's not in charge of the state. He admitted it last week, and that's very clear to all of us who've been down in Springfield.
Yeah, he's not in charge. Yeah. But, I mean, the fact that he's not...
He told us, Amy.
I know, I heard. People in the National Guard like, well, he's not in charge. Who's in charge?
You look like instead of a legislator like Jeannie Ives, who's fought for lower taxes, less spending. I know that she's going to be in charge. That's why I support her. And in a strange way, the biggest Madigan ally in Springfield is Bruce Rauner. Dan and I worked for a long time outside of his radio job to defeat the progressive income tax. That was when there was 71 Democrats that Paquin was governor. We get Bruce Rauner as governor. He talks about a tax increase for 2 years, begging for it, calling it the capital compromise. We end up with a 32% increase in income tax hike. Bruce Rauner worked hand-in-hand with Madigan on making Illinois a sanctuary state. And guess who signed Madigan's abortion bill, providing for taxpayer funding of abortions through the ninth month of pregnancy? So Bruce Rauner's the kind of guy who loves to go out and criticize people, call people names. But when push comes to shove, he's been Madigan's biggest ally. And that's why we need real change in the state. And that's why Jeannie Ives will be the governor.
And so Rauner is, you know, making everything him versus Madigan, right? And he's ultimately he'll have to address Pritzker, whoever the Democrat nominee is, more substantively as well. But it's, you know, him fighting the good fight against Madigan. You're suggesting that the evidence doesn't back up that claim. And there was another flap. This is a little bit below the fold, but it's still important, and it may be illustrative of the point that you're making. This is about the chief procurement officer monitor dealings with Medicaid services. And there was some back and forth between you and the governor's office about the nature of this procurement officer and how independent this person is as it pertains to something as important as oversight of the state's Medicaid program.
Steve Rauscherberger is a good friend of both of ours, Dan, as you know. He's been saying for years that we need to address Medicaid spending. And he's right. That's 22% of the budget. Pensions are about 21%. If you don't address pensions, Medicaid can't address the budget deficit in this state. So I have been very, very interested in following this procurement process for new Medicaid providers. And it's been a complete lack of transparency. And specifically, one of the items is that the Rauner administration hired McKinsey, a consulting firm, $12.5 million, no-bid contract. The governor on November 30th said that there was a competitive bid, even though it was outside the process. So I went to the hearing last week. I asked about that. The head of the agency said there has been no vetting, so she said the governor's information was incorrect. Then the governor said that the chief procurement officer who voided the contract because it was a no-bid contract is controlled by Madigan, and there's absolutely no evidence of that. Madigan creates a lot of problems in this state, no doubt about that. What I don't understand is why isn't the governor being transparent about Medicaid, about his no-bid contract? Why isn't he being transparent about what his projections are for Medicaid? No numbers have been provided. That's one of the things that now they have promised. We'll see if we get them. We're going to start writing letters every day. But it's just another example that the governor is absolutely right. Again, the worst Republican governor in America, according to the National Review, he's not in charge. And this is just another example of it.
And on this point, it turns out Capital Facts was reporting, which is kind of like an industry newsletter and blog, that Rahner's chief counsel in 2015 actually recommended the procurement officer who now Rahner is suggesting is controlled by Madigan. So it seems like whenever Rahner gets in trouble or is shown to have said one thing and done another, or said one thing and then said the opposite thing, he just says, well, Madigan, as his kind of as his cover story, his alibi for his either, you know, change of heart or hypocrisy or incompetence.
Absolutely. And it turned out that Jason Barkley, the general counsel who worked for Mitch Daniels, I wish actually Bruce Rahner governed like Mitch Daniels, by the way, he recommended this person. So the governor clearly didn't tell the truth, you know, on the situation. And, you know, on the Madigan issue, he hasn't met with him for a year. One of the things you've been saying, Dan, I've followed over the years, is Madigan is just a man. He doesn't have superpowers. He's not smarter than anybody else. And Bruce Rahner every day makes Madigan out to be a god. He's increasing Madigan's power. And he refuses to deal with him. I think Peter Breen's letter after Rahner signed the abortion bill that destroyed Henry Hyde's legacy, wrote probably one of the greatest documents I've ever read in politics, just took down Rahner. And I think he's scared of Madigan, obviously. He blames him for things, but then he won't engage with them. That's why I think Jeannie Ives will be a great governor. Hopefully we pick up the 9 seats. That's the most important thing, so we take control. But if Madigan is still speaker, can you imagine Jeannie Ives in Madigan's office? Well, Madigan's eating his apple every day for lunch. Jeannie respectfully but strongly advocating for what we believe in. That's what we need. We need an active governor who's not scared and intimidated by Michael Madigan, who doesn't act as Michael Madigan's agent like Bruce Rahner. Sanctuary state, tax increase, abortion on demand paid for taxpayers. That's why it's so important that Jeannie wins this race.
Well, and it also says a lot about him as a man and a governor if he won't debate her. I mean, that is, I can't even imagine. Even Todd Stroger debated,
Tony Parrika.
Parrika. Yeah. I mean, you have to do that. I think it's a responsibility to the voters to have a debate.
Well, Amy, if Rahner is intimidated by Michael Madigan, he's sure is going to be intimidated by Jeannie Ives. I mean, Jeannie's tough. I mean, that's what I like. That's why I support her. And I like Jeannie because she always is straight. I don't agree with her on everything. We probably agree on 95% of the issues, but when she doesn't, she'll come and talk to me, and we'll call him, and she'll be very, very direct about it. Rahner doesn't like direct people. I think that she would absolutely destroy him in a debate. I think that he's scared to debate Jeannie Ives.
Yeah, I can tell you from my interactions with him, you're right. He doesn't like direct people. He just kind of sits there and says nothing. He's kind of likes to play Pontius Pilate when there's controversy, not lead. But let me ask you this question. It's a political question because, of course, the governor's people are suggesting, look, Jeannie Ives is a fringe candidate. She can't win. I'm the inevitable nominee, and I'm the only chance we have to defeat the Democrats because I have the big checkbook. He's not saying because I have the big checkbook, but he's saying because I've taken on Madigan, blah, blah, blah. But it's really because of the checkbook. And that's persuasive to a lot of, establishment Republicans who can't seem to get out of get off the hamster wheel of continuing to do the same things we've been doing for the last 20 years in the super minority. But how do you respond to that? The idea that Jeannie Ives doesn't have a chance, Rahner's contention, she's a fringe candidate, she can't win, the primary, she can't win the general.
Well, the fringe candidate is Bruce Rahner. Again, let me be clear. He actually absolutely destroyed Henry Hyde's legacy. We have abortion on demand paid for by taxpayers for the 9th month of pregnancy. Illinois is a sanctuary state. He hates President Trump. He won't even say his name. He's responsible for the tax hike he had promoted for a few years. So the fringe candidate is Bruce Rahner. He can't win a general election. He stands for nothing. You know, I'm a Reagan guy, as you know, and you need to stand on what we believe. I think Jeannie is a military veteran, as a conservative leader, as a strong person, will be able to stand up to Pritzker and Berrios and all the tax increasers. I mean, people are sick and tired, as you know, of the tax increases in this state. Jeannie will run as an anti-tax conservative who will reform this state. That is much better than a wishy-washy person like Browner, the worst Republican governor in America, who's raised taxes. They don't like a sanctuary state, and we have abortion on demand through the ninth month of pregnancy. He can't win. Jeannie can.
He is State Representative David McSweeney, conservative Republican legislator from Barrington. David, thanks, as always, for joining us. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.